the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joining us for the week trending, we have Emily Keegan, our multimedia reporter here at Today FM, and also from 98FM, it's producer Cathal O'Sullivan. You're very welcome, both of you, to the week trending. But let's start by hearing somebody else. Let's with a global star, Kim Kardashian, who it turns out has a strong views about the moon landings. And let's hear her telling a producer and then actress Sarah Paulson what she believes and doesn't believe about the NASA moon landings.
I don't think we did. I think it was fake.
I'm sending you, like, so far, a million interviews with both Buzz Aldrin and
yes,
the other one.
Do it.
And this girl says, what was the scariest moment? And he goes, there was no scary moment because it didn't happen. It could have been scary, but it wasn't because it didn't happen.
Because the scary moment didn't happen, not that the moon landing didn't happen.
Yeah, Matt, I suppose Kim Kardashian making these claims that the moon landing didn't happen, I don't know how much worth we're going to put behind this, but she also says, like, the other fella, yeah, like, exactly. She's like, she doesn't know who these people are. Of course, they
you
are
name them.
Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins.
Good man, you did your homework, good man.
Producer Cathal O'Sullivan, he does his research. But 56 years on, people are still making these claims that the moon landing didn't happen. And she goes on to say that she centres conspiracy theories all the time. So, like, this is a woman who has now gone back to do, like, law school and stuff like that. And you're kind of saying, like, how much does she actually, like, put into researching these things? Because if she actually did a little bit of research, she might find that these aren't true claims.
Well, you see, Emily, we might scoff, but there's a lot of people who take what Kim Kardashian says to be gospel.
And I think that's the main concern, is that, as far as I'm concerned, this isn't even one of the most concerning conspiracy theories out there in the world. Like, I definitely do believe that the moon landing happened, but I can see how...
You sound a little doubtful there, Emily.
I think if there is to be a conspiracy theory to believe, it's the most believable one because it could very easily be set up. In saying that, I do know that it happened.
This is how conspiracy theories start. You get, see, Cathal, apparently serious people like Emily Keegan yeah, are couching their comments in if, but, maybe...
I have to question things. I'm a journalist. But anyway, look, you're right, though. People do take her word as verbatim. Like, they really do cling to everything she says. She's a trendsetter, so it's concerning to see someone with that platform platforming these kind of things.
Well, what is she doing? She's spreading this, I suppose, disinformation about the moon landing. Like, the conspiracy theories, like, are the waving flag. Why was the flag waving? But this has also been debunked. The flag includes an extended horizontal arm. That's the reason why it stood out. Another one, no stars visible in the pictures. And they were obviously in space. But it would have to have been taken on a specific camera to see such, like, different, like, aspects of the stars
and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, it was so long ago. And also, the footprints don't match the boots. Like, honest to God, like, were you there measuring it like a person in Clarks? No, you weren't.
But NASA responded to her and they were like, we have done it 6 times. So.
And they've invited her to the next space launch, so she's going to get VIP treatment.
She'll be up in space next, herself and Katy Perry.
She's like myself, she'd go to the opening of envelope.
Another listener says, why'd you give that idiot publicity? If the moon landings were faked, why didn't the US's biggest rival, the USSR, come out and blow their cover?
Yeah, this is true. Well, I suppose, like, it was a space race back then, and, like, the US are trying to do it again now.
I bet you Russian disinformation is behind an awful lot of it. Well,
you're probably onto something, honestly, yeah.
Well, what I'm really interested in, if we're talking about space, is the Harvard University astronomer Professor A.V. Loeb. Now, he has put his finger on something which could be really, really interesting. If true, tell us about him.
This
is A.V. Loeb, and he's actually saying now that an interstellar comet barreling through the solar system towards Earth could be an alien technology. So, like, first of all, coming off the back of Kim Kardashian, she quote tweeted NASA and said, what about 3L Atlas? This is the comet that is actually, I suppose, barreling towards Earth.
And there we have an expert. We have a Harvard University astronomer who says this thing, which is coming at 60 kilometers a second, is on a course which looks like it's been set and also is of a very unusual shape and size. Yeah. It looks like it was manufactured.
Yeah, he says it's like there's an interplanetary object being aligned and like the size is very suspicious, but like he doesn't go into much detail with this.
Yeah.
He's also saying the diameter looks like it could be 20 kilometers, but most scientists around the world have since concluded that it looks to be a natural comet, but he thinks the chances are significant and real.
Hang on, there's an important point here. Carl, he says the trajectory that it is on is striking. It's nearly perfectly aligned to the orbital plane of the planets, the flat disc-shaped surface on which all the planets orbit the sun, the plane known as the ecliptic. He could be onto something.
But what is it? Like you said there, he's not going into much detail. He's like, this could be manufactured. Yeah, but what actually is it? And I know he's saying that it could cause like mass destruction, but like, are aliens going to climb out of it once it lands and cause mass destruction? Is the object itself going to cause mass destruction? Like, I don't really understand what he's trying to say, and I also don't believe him. So.
He also says that there's eight specific anomalies with the comet, but also he goes on to say that the chance of us seeing these anomalies are between 10 and 1,610 quadrillion.
Mm.
So like, this is a huge scale, and he's saying that, okay, the chances of us seeing these anomalies are on this scale, but I think there could be a chance. There's a real and significant chance.
He says there's not enough rocky material in interstellar space to explain such a massive arrival even once per decade.
But I thought space was endless. So like, how would he know the answer? How would he know that? Like, I honestly...
You got that from Toy Story to Infinity and Beyond, basically.
All
didn't
I know
you?
Is, I know very little about space, but I know enough about it. I don't want to know anymore. Like,
I think Professor
Avi
Loeb from Harvard and Kim Kardashian might need to sit down and have a conversation.
I think that's the last thing the world needs.
Well, Emily, do you know enough to be able to tell us what lit up our skies during the week?
Yeah, so this is something that I didn't actually see myself. I've seen all the conversations around it, and this happens to me all the time. I never see the Northern Lights when they're here. I never see any of this, so I miss this. But there was a lot of talk about it, especially on X, that people saw this bright light. And obviously, I guess the time of year, people were thinking it was UFOs, it was aliens, it's an early Halloween treat for us all. And our good friend Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather was quick to come into the rescue to kind of answer people's questions online. And it seems now that it was linked to Elon Musk's latest SpaceX rocket launch. So it's basically, I suppose, how light travels. The fact that this rocket launch could emit a light that we can then see across all of Ireland later on. Like, again, it's going back to space. I just think it's... I don't need to know stuff.
Mr. Alan O'Reilly explained like that one part of the rocket released the fuel which froze and formed this bright light in the air. But like, honestly, like, I think people who are leaning into the fact that like, okay, this could be a UFO, this could be an otherworldly force, or like, I don't know, come up for a bit of air, because there's no one coming. There's no UFO or alien force coming to get us. I don't think.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know that either, but not within the next couple of years, I don't think so anyway. But like, I think people leaning into the fact that the alien comets and stuff like that, I don't know, read a book.
But at the same time, if I saw it, I would instantly be like, God, that's weird. What could that possibly be? And you'd kind of start to come up with all these crazy things, like the world is ending, the sky's falling kind of stuff, because you don't know. But yeah, I would probably be inclined to read a book. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to that 3L thing, a listener says, Professor Brian Cox says it's just a lump of rock and ice, and I believe him.
Yeah, well, yeah. Professor Brian Cox is someone that we can all agree is very well versed in his field. So I would be inclined to agree with him as well.
Eddie says, in fairness to Kim Kardashian, I'd say she's an expert in all things fake.
Oh, burn.
Well, coming for Kim.
Okay, let's bring it back to Earth and bring it back to our trains. Because tell us about this, Emily, about the senator who has started her own onboard catering service on the Sligo-Dublin train.
Yes, this was the Labour Senator Nessa Cosgrove, and a lot of people listening probably have seen the video. It was really doing the rounds on social media. I saw it myself during the week. We all know that the trolleys were taken off of a lot of the Irish Rail services during COVID, and there's been a lot of complaints that they haven't been brought back. So Nessa has taken it upon herself to make a point to highlight how badly they're needed. So when she was on the Sligo to Dublin train, she brought her own little trolley. She was wearing it across her chest. She had packets of potato, bottles of water, and bars of chocolate, and she was handing them out to people. And I think the video itself was just a way to bring attention to the topic again. And she's now saying that it's kind of, it's a public service. It's needed. We need to bring it back. This train, I believe,
it takes
and a half
ages.
Hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. Because I actually came on that train only last week into Dublin from Longford. I went up and down to Longford one morning, and Longford is about halfway on the train journey, and that's over 2 hours. I think the Sligo train takes about 4 hours.
Yeah,
from having done it once a few years ago.
It's 3.5 hour the route, and Ness Cosgrove, who's a member of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Transport, says people on, like, passengers have been contacting her from all over the country, especially the ones where she's from, and people, especially for older people, they see it as an essential service for such a long journey. But, like, notwithstanding, we got this service back on the Cork train, which is also quite a long train as well if you are going, like, stop.
2.5 hours.
But for some people, that is a very long journey after a long day, maybe at a hospital appointment in Dublin City and stuff like that. So,
but you can get a coffee and a sandwich or a bun or whatever you want in the station before you get on the train.
But that's also presuming that you're going to be on the train for the designated time. I was telling Cathal before we came in here, I was on a train before which struck a cow, and I was there for a very long time, and they actually didn't have any water to give anyone. And when you're there for that long, and there are people, like you mentioned, they're elderly people that dying for a drink, like, and just to get a simple bottle of water. I can't see why they can't even put vending machines on them, like, just something so that the service is there for people. I don't get it.
Yeah, like, I commuted for 4 years there working in Dublin, and there was a period of time
commuting
before.
From where?
Portlaoise.
Okay, you get the train every day.
Yeah, I got the train every day, and there was a period of time where you would get on the train after a long day, and you mightn't have thought in Houston, or you might have been chasing a train or something like that.
And you could just the queues are too long in Houston,
yeah,
or whatever.
Something like that, and you get on, and then the trolley service comes around, and you're like, Jesus, I would love a cup of tea and a Kit Kat. Like, there's some, or even a bottle of water. And like Emily says, I've been on trains before in other countries around Europe. Some of them have been absolutely excellent, but I was on a train in Croatia for like 6 hours, not even a bottle of water. Like, so once you were out, you were out. So, like, there's a lot of people who agree with Nessa Cosgrove in this instance.
Well, listener says, CIE in its infinite wisdom lifted a lot of the double tracks. Now we have trains waiting and stations for the down train to pass before the up train can continue. That actually happened. I realised that happens on the Dublin Sligo line in particular a lot. Not only that, they're also constrained by the horizontal curvature of the bends, and there's only much super elevation you can put on the existing tracks to allow high speed trains. Although I think there are all sorts of ideas for the Cork to Dublin and Dublin to Belfast line to have all sorts of increased times over the years by improving the tracks. Okay, this thing about whether having a boyfriend is embarrassing, you're going to have to explain it to me. Why an article in Vogue UK has suddenly gone viral and has started a discussion amongst people of your generation about why having a boyfriend might be embarrassing.
So it's an article by Shantae Joseph, I hope I'm saying her name right. She wrote this basically saying that when she sees women posting their boyfriends' loads on social media, she starts to mute them. And it also, she goes into this kind of societal shift where we have now the soft launch and the hard launch. So a soft launch is when people would start to drop hints that they have a boyfriend. So it might be a picture of his hand on the steering wheel, but you don't see his face. Or it might be a picture that you're out to dinner and you can see that you're with someone else, but nobody knows who it is. And you're soft launching before you drop the picture of him. A hard launch then would be you just drop the picture out of nowhere that you've got a boyfriend. And I can see where she's coming from with it a little bit. Like, I myself, I'm in a 4.5 year relationship. And if you look at my Instagram, there's not that many pictures of him there.
Why not?
It's not that I'm ashamed to post him.
Like, that might be implied.
No, like, he's there.
Good evening, Aaron.
I think we just are moving away from the real posed kind of pictures on Instagram in general. And like, people are just posting, like, we've got Instagram dumps now. So people are just posting a dump of photos from their month.
Okay, can I ask though, is the reluctance to put photographs of partners up there because it may not endure? And I'm not suggesting that your relationship is not going to endure, but if it just so happened that it did break up, you wouldn't want the memory of all of those photographs been up there online for anyone else to pick up on at any stage in the future. That there has to be an absolute solid, firm commitment, such as marriage or children, before you will actually want that person to be permanently associated with you.
100%, I do think that's a part of it. Because also, if it's someone I went to school with, with, right? And they like suddenly stop posting pictures of the boyfriend, or like they're really quiet for a while. The first thing I do is I go straight onto their profile and see if they've deleted the pictures of him. And if the pictures are deleted, I know the relationship's over. So I do think that's the thing, because people, you do, you have to kind of go then and do the embarrassed thing of, God, I need to remove him.
But isn't there another element as well, that for a lot of women, is they feel they don't want to be defined by the nature of the fact that they're in a relationship, that they're independent of the relationship.
And that they have friends and that they do other things. But I think it also, a lot of the time, like, is having a boyfriend embarrassing now? She goes into so much more about that, like women not needing to depend on men anymore and all of this. And I had a case yesterday, I was getting my nails done, and because I'm going on holidays, and the girl who's doing my nails, they're going, who are you going with? And I was like, my boyfriend. And like, there was something about it that I was like, well, I feel really icky saying it. But I'm also wondering, is it just the word
boyfriend?
I really
boyfriend? Hope he's not listening.
I love him to bits. I do love him to bits. But
you've redeemed yourself somewhat. And that's probably a bigger declaration than having a photograph on Instagram.
Yeah, saying it on national radio. I really enjoyed reading this piece for someone, I suppose, who's previously been in relationships and been that person who's taken the pictures down and been like, oh, I don't want that.
So you've been the one who's taken the pictures down, or have you had your picture taken down?
I've just been like, oh, that doesn't need, or doesn't need to live there forever. Just, it was a part of my life, and that chapter is closed now. But I loved the fact that she went into more detail. This is not just about posting the Instagram pictures and the soft and hard lunch. It's about women being viewed as independent of their boyfriend, or independent of that hand in marriage. Previously, women were rewarded almost for their ability to find a man and get the marriage and get the house and have the children. And now more and more in our generation, you see women stepping out and saying, well, no, if that's not for me, I don't have to do that. I can do it on my own. I don't need that fairy tale. I don't need to walk down the aisle to be successful in my job.
I don't need to be married and to have children. That's the way for a lot of women, they feel.
Oh, yeah, they don't need to. Yeah, they can be married and absolutely not have children.
Or they don't feel the need even to be married. Yeah, they want to be single throughout their lives.
There's no formula anymore. And there's a shift happening in our generation where it's almost empowering for me as a man to see a woman stepping out and being like, well, I don't need to follow the formula. I can do things successfully as a woman on my own, single. And absolutely, more power to you. If you have found love, and you are happy with your wife and your kids and all that, absolutely excellent.
But each to their own.
Yes, this is it.
I love that you mentioned it, that like you found love, because I do think it's a thing that we shouldn't be ashamed of. And after reading the article, I made a conscious decision when I was on Instagram today of noticing if people were posting their boyfriends, and so many were, because you should be proud of
them. Well, that's what I was just about to ask. Are people now almost been shamed into not posting photographs of their boyfriends, or indeed girlfriends or whatever, because they're afraid that people go, oh, look at you, you're so needy that you have to have your photograph of that person?
I don't think so. Like, I do see couple pictures every single day. Lately, a lot of engagement pictures. Okay, we need to calm down with that, because it's every day I go onto Instagram, it's a new engagement picture. But like, and that, like, it is nice. It's nice to see people in love. I love love. I love seeing people be happy. Be proud of your boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic at the end of the day. So eligible bachelors listening, you know where to find me.
And how long before you'd put the photograph up?
Oh,
are you a soft launcher or a hard launcher?
Oh, probably a little soft launch.
Would you take them down quickly?
Oh, well, I don't know how quick I took them down the last time. It might have been a while. This is in the heat of the reel. It's about women romanticizing being okay with being single and not having to follow the formula. But also, if you are in that situation where you have found love, absolutely enjoy it. But also don't forget that you are a separate entity to him as well. Don't just follow his lead all the
time. One listener says there's a lot of overthinking going on here.
I do think there's an element of that too. It's not really that deep at
it's
the end
not.
Of it.
And
yeah, because another listener says, I've heard it all now, such bullshit. What's happening to our world?
Right. Okay, I don't want to get that one.
This comes back to us spending too much time in our phones and too much time in people's lives, and it all goes back to the content that we look at online, and different people follow different things. But a lot of people in our generation do post about their romantic lives, and maybe in older generations this didn't happen.
Yeah, and maybe is there an element of people want to retain an element of privacy?
Absolutely.
That's a huge thing, I think, because like there are people who follow me on Instagram who I don't know, and why should they get to know every part about my life? Like, I think there's a lot of that. But I think people need to remember, nobody cares about you. Like, genuinely, they see your photo, they swipe past it, it's forgotten straight away. Like, you're not
after
special.
All the effort you went to get that photograph,
all my face
and get
tuning.
Your nails. Right, let's move on to something else. This is much more serious. And I'm going to go to you in this call to start. Brigitte Macron and the legal action that's taking place in Paris. Tell us about this.
So Brigitte Macron, there's 10 people took the stand. There's a trial of 10 people in France today accused of spreading unsubstantiated claims over Brigitte Macron's gender and sexuality. And this has been happening over like the past while, as long as I can remember Brigitte Macron being the first lady in France. People have been, I suppose, questioning her gender and whether she was a transgender woman. And today, Brigitte Macron's daughter has told a court in Paris that a sexist cyberbullying negatively has affected her mother's health and living conditions. Mrs. Macron, who's 72, has been the target of these conspiracy theories, but she's noticed change in her deterioration of her mother's health since the claims started. But they'd also said that her image will be used to back these theories people posting online. And to me, this is just, I suppose, people using hate as a way to get at someone who didn't actually apply to be in office in France. Brigitte Macron is obviously, her husband is the president, but she isn't the one making the laws there. So this is the case that is ongoing against 10 people in France, which I just, to be honest, it's one of those things where you're using someone's gender against them is just completely hate-filled, but it also goes back to something that me and Emily had previously discussed. It's an insult that used to be, oh, well, they're gay, or someone's partner is gay because they walked a certain way, or because Brigitte Macron maybe looks the way she does or stood funny one day in a picture. That's what people are using to weaponize against Brigitte Macron. And to be honest, as someone who's part of the LGBTQ plus community, what is wrong with being trans?
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And what is wrong with being gay? And these people are using it against her. And like I say, my heart goes out to her, a 72-year-old woman who's almost recently said that she would have to, I suppose, use her own body as evidence in court, which is just completely wrong.
Yeah. Like, I just would echo every single thing Cathal said there. Why is being trans an insult? Why do you think, oh, I'm going to get at her if I say you look trans? What's wrong with looking trans? Like, and actually Hailey Bieber said this on a podcast during the week, because she's someone who gets it too. And she was like, I don't view it as an insult because some of the most beautiful people I know are trans. But the thing I find is people who are the most obsessed with gender and what someone's real gender is the people who are anti-trans. People who accept trans people don't care, couldn't care less what you are. So it's just hateful, bitter people who have nothing better to do.
Yeah, the Macrons have already actually had proceedings. They've had to present such evidence in court against the US right-wing influencer Candace Owens. Candace Owens, who we all know, has repeatedly promoted her view that Brigitte Macron is a man. And in March 2024, she claimed that she would stake her entire professional reputation on the allegation. That's a lot to stake your reputation on, considering Brigitte Macron is a woman. And notwithstanding, if she was a transgender woman, there would nothing be wrong
exactly,
with it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just finish with one other thing. And I think this is outrageous on the part of Guinness, because we know the Guinness Scorehouse attraction is in Dublin, because that is where Guinness is made. And we know that Guinness made elsewhere is inferior to Guinness made in Dublin. How dare they decide to open a new brewery attraction in London in competition with Dublin?
Money's money.
Money's money. I don't love it. It kind of stinks to me. Like, I am a fan.
Guinness probably does too.
I'm a fan of the drink. And I've been to the storehouse. I was there in, I want to say, coming out of COVID 2021. And it is a great attraction. And anyone who comes to Ireland from around the world, or the US or the UK or even Europe, and they ask you where to go, I often say the storehouse, because it is a nice attraction. But bringing it to London to be like, oh, look at this, like it, almost British, like Britishizing it. I don't love it from Guinness, number one, but also the fact that like they're trying to make it like cool to drink Guinness in London. Okay, like we get it. Like it's not like it's our thing. Sorry.
Yeah. But I do think also like it is our thing. And at the end of the day, people who go to the tour in London are not going to get the same experience that they'll get in Dublin, because like we
it's
are the home
be the same
of it.
Guinness.
Yeah, and I can see why Guinness did it, because at the end of the day, Diageo and Guinness are a business, and like it makes sense. It's going to be popular, especially after the recent Netflix show. But I don't know. I still think you're going to have to come to Dublin for the real thing.
Emily Keegan, our multimedia reporter at Today FM, and Cathal O'Sullivan, producer at 98 FM. Thank you both very much for being with us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.